Good morning, Westminster. Good to see you this morning. Let me extend my welcome as well to those of you who are our guests today. I love the opportunity to meet you after the service. We are going to be this morning in Ephesians chapter 2, so you can turn there in your Bibles. Perhaps a strange text for us in Christmas, Advent season. But hopefully you will see why I've chosen this text for our consideration this morning. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 7. This is God's holy word. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your holy word. It is a great gift to us, a means by which we know who You are. We know of ourselves without You. We know of the wonder and the riches and the glory of Jesus Christ. And we know what life is like with Him when we are His. Bless now the reading and the preaching of Your word, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the numbers are in. Pastors, I think, maybe more than others, like to look at statistics and see what people are thinking about particular issues. And another survey has come out dealing with people's views about Christmas. The numbers are not really that great if you're looking from a pastor's perspective and maybe just from a Christian perspective. Here's some of the numbers from a recent survey. Asked if they would treat Christmas as a religious holiday, only 42% of those who responded said yes, they would see Christmas as a religious holiday. Now, 79% of those surveyed said that this Christmas season they will watch a Christmas movie of some sort. We'll come back to Christmas movies here in a moment. That compares to only 59% who said they will attend any kind of religious service during this Christmas season, a Christmas Eve service or a Christmas Day service. Less than half of those surveyed believe that Christmas, as it's recorded in the Bible, the story or the information we have in the Bible about Christmas, less than half believe it's historical or historically accurate. Now, this is not a sermon to say how bad the world out there is. Look how bad the culture's going. That's not the point. As a pastor, part of my concern is that a number of those who responded in those ways profess to be Christians. My concern this morning is for us, that somehow we may lose an understanding of why it is that we celebrate this season, why it is that we take four Sundays and we parade up here families to light Advent candles 4 weeks. Why do we do that? And if you listen to the readings that we do during that time, you get a fairly full reflection of what Christmas is about. Why is it that we take the time and have Christmas cantatas and children's Christmas programs? Why do we take the time to even set aside and preach Advent sermons? When Pastor Wade does the sermon schedule for each semester, in the fall we come to really, I guess, last Sunday and this Sunday, and it says, Advent sermon. Why didn't we just continue in Colossians? Which we probably could have preached Christmas sermons from Colossians. But why do we come back and go to familiar text. Is it really that important to us? Or are we losing, it seems, not only in the culture, but in the church, the reason that we celebrate this time of year? Now, for us, I'm not concerned about us losing what the significance is and not knowing that this is the season when we celebrate the incarnation, the coming of the second person of the Trinity into human flesh. I'm not concerned about that, but that we have become so distracted by the other things that have become part of Christmas that we forget, or the real significance of the season gets pushed to the side. If you were here last Sunday evening for the children's program, even the children get this to a certain degree. They had a whole song that was set aside to basically talk about how the busyness of Christmas gets in the way of celebrating Christmas rightly and truly. They talked about the Christmas cards that they've got to send out and all the Christmas parties that they have to attend. And they could have added any number of things to the list. The Christmas baking that has to take place. And if you're like me, the Christmas shopping that still needs to be done. And those things can become so overwhelming. I know my wife this year, we made a pledge that next year she would have all her Christmas shopping done by Thanksgiving or right after Thanksgiving. Because we've felt this year in all the busyness of Christmas, because this is actually the shortest amount of time that we could have on the calendar between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Some of you have probably felt that pressure. Because we've kind of trying to get our heads above all that we have to do to actually find time to celebrate Jesus and His coming and to prepare ourselves to celebrate December 25th rightly. So easy to become distracted. So easy to become bogged down in those kind of details. We all feel it. What's got a hold of my heart this morning that I'm having to repent of? Wednesday, we had a Christmas present that had to go to Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and we had a box of presents that had to go to Glasgow, Kentucky. Paid the post office a good amount of money to send priority, and was assured that those packages would be there on December 20th, 2013. I'm pretty sure the 2013 is on there. And so, I've got my little tracking number. I'm tracking the packages. I'm tracking yesterday, waiting for updates. And until this morning, when I got up and checked once again, the boxes, the last update said on December 18th, which was Wednesday, the day I sent them, the boxes were still being processed in Houston, Texas. Now, I'm glad to tell you that in checking this morning, just in case pastors always get complaints that they start telling stories and don't give you the resolution. As of yesterday, they're in Louisville, Kentucky. So we're making progress. Obviously not there by Friday, December 20th. Those kind of things, they can grip our hearts. And so this morning, what I want to do is simply remind us through this passage in Ephesians. We're not going to do an in-depth exposition of this passage, but just to remind us this Sunday right before Christmas about the gospel. What all of our celebrating should be focused towards. The Christmas parties and the Christmas cards and the Christmas cookies and the Christmas gifts are all good things. But as I say each year to my family and have to say repeatedly to my heart, if we had none of those things, if there were no Christmas parties, if there were no gifts under the Christmas tree, we as God's people would have still great reason for rejoicing this season. And so I want to just remind us of a couple of things from Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to do so using a couple of familiar Christmas stories or Christmas tales. Christmas stories are a kind of a part of our culture now. Obviously, 79% of folks are going to watch a Christmas movie. Some of you prefer the old classics, A White Christmas, Miracle on 34th Street. See, I haven't ever seen the movie, so 34th Street. Some of you prefer those classics. They've been running pretty much nonstop on some of the channels. Some of you prefer the newer classics, Home Alone. They've been running that all the time on TV. Maybe your favorite is A Christmas Story with Ralphie and his Red Ryder BB gun. If you just really haven't gotten your fix of that yet this Christmas, I think starting sometime on the 24th, they run it for 24 straight hours on TBS. Go and be filled and be merry, I guess. Perhaps your favorite is of the Santa Claus 1, 2, 3, or however many there are with Tim Allen. We like those movies, and they tend to only be focused on this time of year. And some of those have become tradition for some of you. I know some watch A Christmas Story. That's kind of what they do as part of their traditions. And those are all good things. But two tales that are very familiar to us that I want to use just to remind us of some gospel truth this morning. The first is A Christmas Carol. Now that's from an older story by Charles Dickens that's had many treatments of it in film and play. You remember the story of A Christmas Carol? If not, just real quick. There's a guy with the wonderful name of Ebenezer Scrooge. A man who is consumed by his love of money, who, because of the way life has gone and has treated him, has become a man who is bitter, who is filled with just self-interest. He's consumed by protecting himself, of consuming things for himself. He has his famous line that's still, "Bah humbug," when it comes to Christmas, has no use for it. He is visited by three visitors. One takes him to look at his past. One takes him to look at his present. And the last takes him to look at his future. And the point of the story is that partly that Ebenezer Scrooge is given the opportunity to be shown the consequences, the end results, where his life is heading towards. And it's that ghost of Christmas future who kind of awakens Ebenezer Scrooge to his need to change course. He was heading in a direction that had a definite, particular end to it. In many ways, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 remind us that we were on a course heading towards a particular end. When Paul writes, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." Every person who's ever been born, except for three, two of them weren't born, they were created, Adam and Eve, and the Lord Jesus, are excluded from this statement. But for the rest of us, for every person who's ever lived in the past, for every person who's here this morning and living now, for all those who will live, this statement is true of all of us. And it reminds us that as we come into this world, we are on a course. We are on a heading. We are in a direction. And that direction is not a good direction. It's a direction that speaks of death. It's a direction that speaks of condemnation. It's a direction that speaks of being objects of wrath. That's the course we were on. Just like Ebenezer Scrooge was on a course that was going to lead to not good things for him, to an end where he was alone, to an end where he dies, to stepping into eternity. So we, all, as we come into this world, are on that course and on that direction. There's a reason when you go and you look at all of the good Christmas hymns that we sing, even some of the ones that we sang this morning, that while on one hand there is this emphasis on light, on Jesus being the light of the world, A lot of the world has come, but if you really look at the hymns as a whole and as in their entirety, that light is always set against. There's always this bit of darkness. There's this darkness that the light is coming into the darkness. That the light doesn't come into a world that's filled with light. But the light comes into a world that's filled with darkness. And you can just hymn after hymn after hymn after Christmas hymn makes that clear. And that's what Ephesians 1, 2, chapter 2, verses 1 and 3 is reminding us this morning. Is that we come into this world darkness. We don't come into this world good. We don't come into this world seeking God. We don't come into this world trusting God. We don't come into this world pure and innocent. We don't come into this world with any desire to even seek after God. And because of that, that has set us on a trajectory. A trajectory that leads to death and condemnation and wrath. That's hard words. People go, this is Advent. This is Christmas. Why are you talking like about this stuff? Happy news. Happy, happy. Because there's no way to understand truly about Christmas if you don't understand the darkness. If you don't understand sin. If you don't understand that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Not perfect people, not good people, sinners. We have to be reminded that. There may be someone here this morning, I can't assume that everybody here is a Christian. There may be somebody here this morning that that's your state right now, and that's still the path that you're on. That's still the direction that you're heading. You may be in a church service during Christmas. You may be one of those folks who goes to religious service. You may partake of Christmas gifts. You may partake of Christmas cookies. You may partake of holiday greetings. You may partake of all kinds of things with the season. But you know not Christ. You have not turned from your sins in repentance and trusted in Christ alone for salvation. And so you can go through, have all the trappings of Christmas and know not Christ and still be on that course that leads to death, condemnation, and wrath. The good news for you this morning is that the call of the gospel still goes out. Jesus is still at work. The Holy Spirit is still gathering people. This is the day, the very day by which you may turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. I can think of no greater Christmas gift for you than that. But for those of you mainly who are here who are those who profess faith in Christ, do not forget from where you've come. Don't think that somehow, well, you had your encounter with Jesus a long time ago and now you're a pretty good person, and forget where you were headed without Christ. I will tell you this. Your joy and celebration of Christmas and of the goodness of God displayed to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ will not be diminished by thinking about the course you were on, but will be enhanced and enlivened and increased if you remember and think about where you were headed, where you were without Christ, what you have been saved from. There's a reason in the Old Testament that the people repeatedly, prophets, Moses, they keep coming back and back again to the works of the Exodus. They keep referring back to that day when they were in slavery in Egypt and how God by a mighty hand brought them out. The point of that was to always remind them, you were in a place of slavery and bondage, you're now free. Don't forget where you've come from. In thinking about where you've come from, you actually enhance your worship and your love for God. Don't think that talking about sin is a bad thing to do. Being reminded of sin is a good thing if it reminds us to turn our eyes to Jesus once again. Ebenezer Scrooge, I'm sure that the story doesn't tell. I'm sure as he lived out the rest of his fictional life, probably the experience with the three visitors was probably something that he thought of again and again and again. So, we too, the Bible, even as Paul here is writing to believers, reminds them of where they were headed. Just like Ebenezer Scrooge was on a path, so we too were on a path. But there's more than just that word for us this morning. The second point is under the title, It's a Wonderful Life. Now, I could have certain people in the room probably come up who could probably quote the movie for us verbatim. We won't do that. Again, I would assume that most of you have seen it, but in case you haven't seen it, It's a Wonderful Life is a movie starring Jimmy Stewart as George Bailey, a man who, in reality, has a great deal of wealth, not monetarily, but in family and friends and many good things. But because of circumstances, brought to a crisis point by the fact that the bank and the loan office that he runs, there's a run on the bank. If you've seen the movie, you know the scene, and everybody wants their money. And the fact that there's going to be consequences for that. I.e., he's going to lose the business, and he's going to go to jail. So in the midst of those circumstances, which have kind of bowed his head, kind of bowed his life, kind of made him just curl in on himself, he begins to think that maybe life would have been better if he just hadn't been born. That everybody would be better off if there had been no George Bailey. And there's a long story of other ways he helped, saving his brother from the ice, saving the pharmacist who had, in his grief over losing his son in the war, I think, has put the wrong medicine in the bottle, and it's been sent off, and George doesn't take it, and pretty memorable scene there. And then, of course, after he makes that kind of, I wish I'd never been born, Clarence the angel comes and shows him what life would be like. And I want us to think, I'm going to read the verses again for us, verses 4 through 7. But as I'm reading of them, I want you as believers to think about this question. What if there was no verses 4 through 7? What if in reality, life for everybody ended at the end of verse 3? But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. What if that wasn't true? What if that had never happened? What if God had determined those folks made their choice? They rebelled against me. They've turned from me. They've sinned against me. They've transgressed against my holy law. They have no inclination to follow after me. They have no inclination to serve me. They have no inclination to worship me. All their desires are for their own selves and for their own self-glory and for their own self-preservation and their own building up of their own kingdoms. And they're headed on a course of death and condemnation and wrath. And I'm going to just let them go that way. Now, if that was the case, let's just end the service and go home. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But we need to feel that, folks. We need to feel that. What our lives would be like if there had been no Jesus. If Jesus hadn't come as a little baby. If Jesus hadn't grown up and lived a perfect life according to God's law. If Jesus hadn't gone to a cross for us. If Jesus hadn't been raised by the Father. If Jesus didn't rule and reign right now and given us great confidence that one day He's going to return again, if we had none of that, what would our lives be like? George Bailey realizes that people's life without him would not be that great. The town that he lives in falls into the hands of old, cruel Mr. Potter. no children because there's no George to marry Mary. And his mother doesn't recognize him. His brother, whom he saved when he fell through the ice, because George wasn't there, what happens? His brother dies. The good news for us is that verses 4 through 7 did happen and are true. Jesus did come because God was rich in mercy towards us. And so, my exhortation to you this morning, for the rest of the Advent season, which isn't that much longer, kids, it's only 3 days, 3 days till Christmas morning. But in the midst of that Christmas morning, in the midst of all the food and the presents and all the things, be reminded that we have a reason to rejoice because Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. God was rich in mercy, and He sent His Son. God did save us by grace. God did change us from the course we were on towards death and condemnation and wrath and put us on a new path that leads to life, to forgiveness, to peace, to joy, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Saints, if that doesn't stir our hearts to worship and to joy and to thanksgiving, I don't know what will. Don't let Christmas become, well, this is this, I've heard it all before. Don't let it become, well, this is just routine. Don't let the news that God was rich in mercy to you and saved you from your sins by the work of His Son, don't let that become tired old news to you. Be reminded about where you would be without it. And then look at all the glories that come, the riches that come. What does He say? Look what He says. The immeasurable riches of His grace. What does it mean to say that it's immeasurable? It means you can't measure it. When you think, well, I understand all that I have in Jesus. I have peace with God. That's a phrase we use. It's a true phrase. But let's face it, we don't understand the depth of what that means that we have peace with God. Well, my sins are forgiven. Do you really understand the depths of what it means to say that your sins are forgiven? I would say that we don't. Do we understand what it means to say that we are God's children? I would say we don't because it's immeasurable. You can't ever get to the fullness of it. Even when we get to heaven, that's what we're going to be singing about and wondering in and glorying in are those things as we go deeper and deeper and deeper into those realities. Or as C.S. Lewis would say, further up and further in. And so, saints, let us rejoice this Christmas season. Not in all the trappings of Christmas, but in the center of Christmas, which is Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we need to have our hearts stirred by Your Spirit this morning. We need to not let the trappings of this season drown out the gospel. And Father, I confess I'm as guilty of it as anybody. So many other things get on my mind. So many other things take up my time. Free us from that, Father. Let us be able to enjoy the trappings, but not be in bondage to the trappings. May the presents and the singing and the caroling and the baking and all those things, may they be things that enhance our worship of Jesus, not detract from it. Father, may this season, may the hearts of Your people be fixed on the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray in His name. Amen.